All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. This will be our starting place and our finishing place. 1 Corinthians 4 and verse number 1. The Bible says, "Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful." Heavenly Father, as we look today at what it really means to be a steward, help us, Lord, to apply this to ourselves, to examine ourselves, to see, are we truly, have we been a steward of God? Have we really been serving you as we ought to? Are we really dispensing the things that you give to us to dispense? Help us, Lord, to not neglect this wonderful responsibility that we have. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The Apostle Paul, writing here under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, sets forth once again the reason why he's such a great example to you and me, such a great example of the Christian life. The Apostle Paul was a man whom the Lord could write, "Be ye," or could have write to us, "Be ye followers of me." Paul could write that because he said, "Be ye followers of me as I am of Jesus Christ." That's the kind of life he lived. And any man who you know to be following the Lord Jesus Christ, that's a man you can follow. And what I find in my Bible, the reason why God could hold Paul up as an example for us is not because he did so many great things for the Lord, though he did, but because he never lost sight of who he was. Carnal men at Corinth may have tried to make a great hero out of Paul. But Paul, he did everything in his power to keep that from happening. He didn't want a following. He didn't want worship. He didn't want the praise of men. He didn't want to be idolized by the brethren. Notice what he says in chapter 4, verse 1. He says, "Let a man so account of us." He says, "Do you want to know how I want you to reckon me when you're doing your accounts? You know what I want the bottom line to be when you think of me? I want you to think of me as the minister of Christ, a steward of the mysteries of God." I want to show you today what the Bible says a steward is. I could tell you, but I just think it's always better to show you what the Bible says. But when the apostle makes this statement, he is saying, "I'm a houseboy. I'm a servant. I'm part of the hired help." A steward, that would be the male equivalent of a maid. Okay, now, a very wealthy man who had a number of servants, the chief servant, he would be the steward. He would be over the other servants. He would be the leader or the example or the overseer of the other servants. But the truth of the matter is, when the day's work is done, all the servants, they go out to the slaves' quarters. They don't sleep in the master's house. When the day's done, none of the servants put their feet under the master's table. They go out and they sit in their little shack and have their meal. And I want you to understand, the Apostle Paul, who very well could have made a name for himself, he very easily could have turned himself into the first Christian idol, but he didn't do that. He said, "The Lord Jesus Christ, he's the king. He is the master. He is the owner of it all. He's the giver of every gift. He is the bestower of every blessing. I'm just one of his servants, and I want you to account when you think of me. I don't want you to think that I'm the great missionary. I don't want you to think that I'm this great preacher. I don't want you to think that I'm the great theologian. I want you to remember that I served God and I served you." Remember that. Remember that. You know, the truth of the matter is, you've probably heard some great preachers in your life. You've probably heard some great Bible teachers in your life. But do you know what's really near and dear to you? The people that minister to you and help you to live the Christian life. Now, you could say this morning, you could say, I think Billy Graham, he's a great preacher. I think J. Vernon McGee, he's a great Bible teacher. I mean, you could go down the line, you could name other men, but if your heart was broken or your kids were in the hospital, those aren't the men you'd be calling, okay? No matter how great their preaching was. And what endeared the Apostle Paul to the people, what made them care for him in every city where he ministered, was not so much that he could preach great truth, it's that they knew this was a man who had given himself to serve God by serving them. He said, here's how I want you to account me. When you think of Paul, I don't want you to think of Paul the preacher. I don't want you to think of Paul the missionary. I don't want you to think of Paul the writer of epistles. I want you to think of Paul the servant in the house of God. That's really something, isn't it? Tell you what, it's very contrary to American Christianity, especially among the quote-unquote ministers and clergy of American churches who seem hell-bent, and I use that term in its full meaning, who seem like their very intention is to figure out how they can get the church to serve them, how they can get the church to benefit them, how they can get the church to minister to their needs. And the Apostle Paul says, hey, before you guys start saying, I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos, this and that, I want you to remember, I was among you as a servant, as a steward in God's house. What made him the great man that he was is that he never considered himself a great man. What made him the blessing he was to others is that he lived to be a blessing to others. So let's take a look at this matter of stewardship. Look first of all in 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3. And the focus is going to be on verse 15, but let's start at verse 14. 1 Timothy 3:14. These things write I unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. So notice the born again believers in the congregate sense, as we join together, okay, that is our gathering together unto the Lord. that's called in your Bible the house of God, okay, not the building, our gathering together as believers, okay. We stand. And I'm not being critical. I'm just trying to point out the difference between Bible truth and the traditions of some churches. But we stand in the church house and the deacon says, oh, Father, we thank thee this morning that we could be gathered together again in the house of God. We're not in the house of God. We are the house of God. Okay? This building is not the house of God. God doesn't live here, okay? God lives here, okay? In us and within us. And we, when we gather together, when each building block, we're missing a few blocks this morning, but when each building block gathers together, that is the house of God, okay? The believers gather together, not the building that they gather in. If we were meeting outside at the beach this morning, we'd still be the house of God. It's not the building, it's the people. Okay, let me show you something else about this. Look in the same chapter, 1 Timothy chapter 3, and here he's giving the qualifications for those who will oversee the believers who are gathered together as the house of God. Chapter 3, verse number 4, 1 Timothy 3, 4, one that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? Now, men for centuries have latched on to half of that verse and ruined their home and ruined their families trying to be king of their castle. I'm going to show you this morning from the Bible what the ruler of the house actually is, according to the Word of God. But I can give you a hint if you'll just read the whole verse, not just the first half of the verse. It says, for if a man know how to rule his own house, how shall he rule? No, not what he said. He's defining the word, rule. How shall he take care of the church of God? Gentlemen, do you know what it means, according to the Bible, to rule your own house? It means to take care of it. You don't make the orders. God makes the orders. It's your responsibility to see to it that God's instructions are carried out. You don't make the rules. You take care to see to it that the rules are there in place. The reason so many homes fail is that you've got men trying to be God instead of trying to be the ruler. I'm going to show you from the Bible, stay with me, steward, ruler, house of God. Okay, come to Genesis chapter 15. Genesis 15. Genesis chapter 15 and verse number 2. Bible says, and Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus? Okay, now notice it's Abraham's house. In Abraham's house, he has a steward by the name of Eliezer. Stewardship then has to do with a house, but the steward is not the owner of the house. The steward is not the master of the house. The steward works for, the steward serves the owner and the master of the house, whether it's the house of God or whether it's your house, sir. We need to understand this concept and this principle of stewardship. Go to Genesis chapter 43. Genesis 43. And verse number 19. Genesis 43:19. And they came near to the steward of Joseph's house, and they communed with him at the door of the house. So notice again, who owns the house? It's Joseph's house. In Joseph's house, there is a steward who works for Joseph, carrying out Joseph's will, carrying out Joseph's wishes, ministering Joseph's blessings to the people in the house. And he's called the steward. But watch this in verse number 16. Verse 16, and when Joseph saw Benjamin with them, he said to the ruler of his house. Bring these men home and slay and make ready, for these men shall dine with me at noon. So notice, in the context, the steward of the house is the ruler of the house. Now it's Joseph's house. Joseph has a steward. The steward, he's called the ruler. But now, do you notice what God said the bishops are to do in the house of God? They are to rule. Meaning what? They don't own anything. They don't dictate anything. They don't make any rules. They don't set forth any standards of their own. They serve God by seeing to it that God's will concerning the people is done for the benefit of those people. Okay, I hope you can see that. If a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? Ruling is taken care of. All right, your home, your family. If God says you are the ruler of your home, then that means it's not your home, and it's not your family. It's God's home. It's God's family. Your responsibility and my responsibility is to carry out God's directions. I serve God by ministering to you. That's a far cry different than the man who walks in, sticks out his chest, sticks his thumbs under his armpit and says, "Hey, I'm home. I'm the king. Come here and shine my shoes." No, you're not the king. God, he's the king. You are his steward. That is, you are to take the blessings that God has for a family, and you are to minister those blessings to that family. That's something to think about there, isn't it? You don't make the rules. You don't provide for that household. God makes the rules. You're responsible to see to it that God's rules are in place in that home. And you don't provide for that household. God, he just told you what to do so that through you, he could provide for that household. Listen, there's some rules in the church and churches that are not in God's book. And if you are enforcing those rules, that is not stewardship. That is somebody who is competing for the throne. Now, you know why churches get in trouble? Because the preacher or the deacons or whoever else might think they're in power starts trying to force their will and their decrees instead of ministering God's will and God's decrees to the congregation. Same thing will hold true in the home. Gentlemen, you make sure that you are right with God, that you're walking with God, and that you're doing what God would have you to do, and then you minister that to that household. And God says you are ruling your home when you take care of your home. It's a novel concept, isn't it? For Bible-believing men. But the truth of the matter is, if God didn't tell you what to do, you couldn't rule that thing. I'm the head of my house, and I run my house, and da-da-da-da. Yeah, sure. But it would probably be a whole lot better if God was the head, and if God was the one who ran it, wouldn't you say? So that's curious how that's worded there, isn't it? All right, let's go look in 1 Kings chapter 16. 1 Kings 16. 1 Kings chapter 16 and verse number 9. Same principle. 1 Kings 16:9. And his servant Zimri, captain of half his chariots, conspired against him as he was in Tirzah, drinking himself drunk in the house of Arza, steward of his house in Tirza. So just notice again, a steward does, I just wanted you to see, it has to do with a house. Okay, then we find something else in Matthew chapter 20. Matthew chapter 20. Let's go there. Matthew chapter 20, not only do you have a steward who is over a house in the Bible, but we also have in the Word of God a steward who is over a vineyard. A steward who is over a vineyard. Matthew chapter 20 and verse number 1. For the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and said unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, I will give you. And they went their way. Again he went out about the sixth and ninth hour, and did likewise. And about the 11th hour he went out, and found others standing idle, and saith unto them, Why stand ye here all the day idle? They say unto him, Because no man hath hired us. He saith unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall ye receive. So, when even was come, the Lord of the vineyard saith unto his steward, Call the laborers, and give them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first. All right, so notice in this case, the Lord of the vineyard puts men to work in his vineyard, but he has a steward who is put over those men. To do what? To take the things of the owner of the vineyard and to minister those things or give them to the laborers. Okay? Now, house of God, that's the believers gathered together. Okay? The Lord is in charge of that thing. But he has placed stewards in places of responsibility to minister his truth to those gathered in the house of God. In like manner, when we go out to work in the field, in the vineyard, the Lord has told us what to preach. The Lord has told us how to preach. The Lord has told us where to preach. The Lord has told us who to preach to, but he has also given stewards. He's also given to the body of Christ, he's given to his gospel outreach, certain individuals who are gifted and who have labored so that they serve as stewards. God ministers to them, teaches them, directs them, and they minister those things to others who are out working in the field and in the vineyard. So, in both cases, God is the one who's in charge because it's his. The church is his and the field is his. The believers gathered are his. The believers are out laboring are his. But in each case, he has put stewards in place of responsibility, places of responsibility. Now, here's two things that need to be understood that are not understood in this day and age. Number one, the stewards need to understand they are under God and they are responsible to minister to the rest of the laborers or the rest of those that are gathered. Number two, those who are gathered or those who are laboring need to humble themselves and recognize and realize that God has given some men stewardship and places of responsibility over the others in the field or in the house of God. Amen. It requires humility. Now, that being the case, rather than strive against or envy those who are in a place of stewardship, why not strive yourself to attain such a place? Okay. Let me just say this, fellas, and some of you guys, you're young and you've got your whole life before you. If the Lord doesn't come, I'm going to tell you something. There's two ways to get a place of leadership in the church house. You can earn it, or you can take it. If you earn it, and God gives it to you, He will bless your doings. If you take something that doesn't belong to you, God won't have anything to do with you. And everything that you do will have to be, you'll have to be done in your flesh, because God's not going to help you. Amen. Got to earn it. Now, if you want a place of leadership, if you want a place of stewardship in the body of Christ, or you feel like your calling is mission work or evangelism or whatever, and you want a place of stewardship in the field, well, there's only one way to get it, and that is to earn it by submitting to God and by following the leadership of the stewards that God has placed over you. If you try and get it any other way, you are a thief and a robber, and God's not going to have anything to do with you. I don't know of a case, I've never heard of a case, where a fella conspired in secret meetings in a back room to get a preacher thrown out so he could take over the church, where God has ever blessed that man's ministry. Whatever he accomplished it. Okay, God didn't do it, because the Lord doesn't have anything to do with that kind of situation. So we got stewards over the house, and we've got stewards over the vineyard. Now, come to 1 Corinthians and look at chapter 3. This is real interesting. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. Let's get the context. The context of the statement that we read earlier from chapter 4. Okay, do we have a vineyard in view? Let's see. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse number 6. I have planted. Sounds like a vineyard to me, doesn't it? Apollos watered. That sounds like a vineyard. But God gave the increase. So then, neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. So notice, a vineyard. Now, what did Apollos do in that vineyard? Verse number 5. Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos? But ministers by whom ye believed. Notice, it's God that we believed in, correct? It's the gospel of Jesus Christ that we believed. That gospel was delivered to the lost Corinthians in the field by ministers. Okay? They were stewards in the vineyard, delivering to those lost people what God gave them to deliver, to dispense. Now, look in verse number 9, the second half of that verse. Ye are God's building, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon, and so on and so forth. Now we have a building. We are building a house. Some people got saved in the field as Paul and Apollos ministered. Now they are taking those who are saved and they're building them up in the house of God. Okay, you see that. Okay. Notice again, look in verse 10. According to the grace of God which is given unto me. How are we built up? Grace. How are we built up? Truth. But where did Paul get that stuff? Well, it's not his. He's just a steward. God gave it to him, and he passed it on to the believers at Corinth. So to those people sitting in that church, the Apostle Paul is saying, look, don't exalt me, but don't despise me. Don't make a god out of me, but don't make me just one of the boys. I was a steward in the field. That's how you got saved. And I was a steward in the house. That's how you get built up. And so he says in verse number 1 of chapter 4, let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. So do you see that? He writes to them, he says, I want you to remember something. Jesus Christ saved you. He is the Savior. Praise his name. But before you treat me bad, remember, I'm the one who told you about Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ taught you. You wouldn't know anything about the Bible were it not for the grace of God. But remember, he taught you through me. So you don't exalt the man, but you certainly don't disrespect the man either. Okay, there's a proper balance that needs to be struck. And very rarely do you find that balance in churches today. All right, now, there's two things that a steward is responsible for, and then there's two things that a steward is supposed to be. Okay, so look, first of all, the first thing he's responsible for in chapter 4, and verse number 1, stewards of the mysteries of God. The mysteries of God. Now, if you run that term mystery throughout your Bible, there are no mysteries that are not revealed, okay? So we're not talking about something like when you pick up an Agatha Christie mystery or an Alfred Hitchcock mystery or a Hardy Boys mystery. What that means is you don't get the answer first, okay? You get the clues. You get the information. And when all is said and done, you get the solution. Okay, same thing in the Bible. There are mysteries all through the Bible, but they don't remain mysteries. You get a clue here, you get a bit here, you get some evidence here, you get a testimony here. And by the time you're through, you find out what you're supposed to find out, what God wanted you to find out. Okay, you get the solution to the mystery. And that way, God, he's made it so you've had to look through the whole Word of God to find what he wanted you to find. That's a good thing. Now, the Apostle Paul said, all this truth, it came from God. But he gave me the responsibility of showing you the clues. It's all in the book, but I found the fingerprints. It's all in the book, but I found the weapon. It's all in the book, but I tracked down the witness. And I put the pieces together, and I presented you with the mystery so that you could solve the puzzle. Now, what the Lord is writing about here in Corinth, as he has, look, I don't want you to worship me. I want you to worship the Lord. I don't want you to glorify me. I want you to glorify the Lord for all these great things that he's done for you. But I also want you to recognize and realize that he has revealed these things to you through men that he has entrusted with these truths. Every one of you here this morning that's saved can thank God that somebody saw truth in the Bible that you'd never seen before. I can say that. And then they showed it to you in the vineyard. Every one of us this morning that has learned since we got saved can say, thank God, he sent some people my way that showed me some things in the Bible. I might have found them someday, but I sure found them a lot quicker because of what God showed that person. I may have studied those things out and come to those conclusions myself, but I didn't, or I hadn't. And so what we need to understand is everyone that is saved, the Lord saved them. Everyone that has been instructed, the Lord, he's the one that instructed them. But we should thank the Lord that he has sent people into our lives to help us. We don't worship them. We don't make them a part of the Trinity. But we do appreciate them, and we should appreciate them. And if you think that if you're one of those, you think you taught yourself, you hear these people stand up all the time, they say, well, nobody taught me the Bible. I just went in there, I learned it all on my own. You're kidding yourself. I've never met anybody who was self-taught. You say, well, you know, Brother Bob, man, he read those books, he dug that stuff out. Yeah, but I got some books to dig in, written by men that God helped to write those books. And I can't tell you how many books, commentaries, biographies, reference books, Bible studies, how many recorded sermons, how many discussions with other godly men that I have referred to over the years. But, you know, you say, yeah, Brother Bob, he just went in there, studied it all out himself. Yes, sure he did. No, I'm following somebody else's lead. Somebody has plowed this field. Man, somebody planted in this field. Somebody watered in this field. Somebody weeded in this field. Boy, Brother Bob, he figured all that stuff out. No, I went out there. All I did was pluck some corn. You understand? Okay, so I appreciate those men. I thank God for those men that I have been able to look to for some guidance, for some directions, for some truth, and for some grace. I thank God for the examples he's sent into my life. That's what he's talking about here. All right, now look in Luke chapter 4. And then also we'll be in Luke chapter 12. Stewards of the mysteries of God. Luke 4. And verse number 4. Luke 4:4, and Jesus answered him, saying, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. So our body feeds on physical bread, but our souls feed on the word of God. Okay, so I just wanted you to see that there. Now look in chapter 12, Luke 12. And verse number 41. Luke 12:41. Then Peter said unto him, Lord, speakest thou this parable unto us, or even to all? And the Lord said, who then is that faithful and wise steward whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household? So this goes back to that thing in Genesis 43:16. You see that? Steward, ruler. What does a steward do? What does the ruler do? Let's read the rest of this. To give them their portion of meat in due season. So what is it to rule the house? It is to provide their needs. It's not to be overbearing and put a bunch of burdens on people. It is to supply. It is to provide. It is to minister to. Okay, can you see that? Some of you guys, you're real scared. You think if you don't have a whip in one hand and a gun in the other and a veil over your face like you just came down off of Mount Sinai, your wife's going to be screaming wild rebel out of control or something. I'm going to tell you something. The Lord Jesus Christ, he doesn't rule you with a rod of iron. He loves you. He provides for you. And that's why you want to serve him. And that's the only thing that's going to work. I believe the Bible. I believe the Bible works, and I don't think anything else will work. And you cannot impose your will on anybody. Saying I do and putting a ring on somebody's finger doesn't take away their responsibility or that person's personality. Okay? They've got the same human nature that you've got, and their nature doesn't want anybody telling them what to do any more than yours wants to be told what to do. The only chance you've got is ministering God's grace and doing it so consistently and so perfectly that the same way you feel towards Jesus Christ is the same way that woman feels toward you. That's the only hope you've got, men. You can't demand that thing. Is God's law perfect? Bible says it is. Does God demand in his law absolute obedience? Sure does. But have you ever met anybody that loves the commandments and loves the law? I haven't. I've met a lot of people who love the Lord for getting them out from under that law. But I don't know anybody that loves the law. See, the law was, you say, you mean I can get out of her class and I can get transferred into her class? Great. How do I do it? You know, all of you remember, you remember going down to the schoolhouse, finding out who you got for the fourth or fifth grade and saying, oh no, I'm in her class. And then you're hoping your mom and dad can talk to the school principal and get you out of her class and into the other. Remember that? All right, well, what a great day when God got you out from under the law and got you under the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, it would be a great day for your wife too, sir. All right, now watch this. Verse number 43, Luke 12, 43. Blessed is that whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Of a truth, I say unto you that he will make him ruler over all that he hath. Now, I know this context here. I know it's millennial reward. I understand that. But I'm going to tell you something, gentlemen. Let's go back to 1 Timothy chapter 3. You want to be a preacher? You want to be a Sunday school teacher? You want to be a deacon? You want God to put you in a pulpit someday? Do you want to be recognized as a leader in the church? You know what the Lord said? If he will find you faithfully doing amongst your family what you're supposed to be doing, then he will see that he can trust you to faithfully do amongst the church family what you're supposed to do. We've got too many people trying to be something in the church, and they're not interested in being something at home. Amen. Amen. Look, I know what the Bible says about divorce and remarriage and all that kind of stuff. I understand that. I understand all those kinds of situations, all those circumstances. I'm not going to go into that stuff. But the Bible says that man in the pulpit is supposed to know what to do at home before he ever tries to do it in a church house. And if what he's preaching, it didn't work in his home, you can pretty well count on the fact that it's not going to work in your home. See, if I was hiring an exterminator and he had rats coming out of the back of his truck, I wouldn't have a whole lot of confidence in that exterminator. You understand what I'm saying? Now, I don't want to be a preacher. I want to be a minister. I don't want to proclaim truth. I want to exemplify, to demonstrate, to represent truth. I don't want to demand right living. I want to live right. And when Paul wrote to the people at Corinth, he said, can you, in your counting, when you add it all up, can you say, we ministered the truth of God's word among you? Because that's what the Lord is looking for. Notice they're to minister God's words. And then secondly, 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter number 4. You know, when you say some of the stuff I'm saying about preachers and church leaders, people get real upset in a desire to defend some preacher that they know or some preacher that they watch on TV or somebody whose books that they once got a blessing from. And so, but that's the very thing we're talking about. We defend God and defend God's word. Now look at 1 Peter chapter 4. Minister God's words. Secondly, verse number 10. 1 Peter 4:10. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards. Watch. Of the manifold grace of God. There's men who preach the Bible. And you listen to them preach, you can't say that what they're preaching is wrong. It is the truth from the Word of God. But the way that they're preaching it, the tone of their voice, the attitude that they have, it doesn't add up. The two don't seem to go together. You know, bless God, that Bible's right. Don't you understand that? Now, I didn't say anything wrong, but I certainly didn't minister the manifold grace of God either. The Lord, He's been very good to me. He's been very patient with me. He's been very kind to me. He has forgiven me things that I don't even realize are wrong yet. You understand what I'm saying? Did you ever find something in the Bible you've been going, you've been doing something, you discover, oh, I've been doing this thing wrong, and God said, once you realize that you've been doing that thing wrong, you go to God, you say, God, forgive me for what I've been doing. Now I see it. So you've been doing it for 25 years, and he hasn't broken your neck one time. So we are not just to minister God's word. We are to minister the God of the word. Okay, this is what God said. And this is the intent of God when he said it. Not to bruise, not to break, not to crush, not to destroy, not to maim, but he gave his word to give life. Every young preacher getting started has said at one time or another, well, bless God, they look better going than they did coming. We're going to have a backdoor revival. Praise the Lord, some of them just needed to get out. You won't find God saying anything like that in the Bible. God doesn't think anybody looks better going to hell than going to heaven. God doesn't think anybody looks better leaving the church than they do coming into the church. God doesn't think anybody needed to leave. He thinks everybody needs to get the thing settled and get it right. So it's not enough to preach what the Bible says. You know, the good steward preaches God as he preaches what God said. You know, this is what the Lord said, and this is why he said it. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Now, God didn't say that to wound people that were committing that deed. He said that to rescue people from the ruin that such activity brings. You understand? You can preach against drink without displaying contempt and hatred for the drunkard. And so the Lord, he's saying here, I want you to minister God's word, but I want you to minister God's grace. Because let's be honest about it. There's enough in this Bible to have sent every one of us to hell if it would have just been the letter of the law. But thank God there's a loving God of grace behind that letter of the law who rescued our soul from sin. Are we representing him? That's what he's after. All right, now, what the steward is to minister, what he is to minister, the mysteries of God and the grace of God. Now, what is a steward to be? Two things. We read in Luke 12:44, faithful. We read in 1 Corinthians 4:2, and let's just look there again just for a minute. 1 Corinthians 4:2. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. That a man be found faithful. Samson was as fine a man as God ever had. Sometimes. And he was as lousy a man as God ever had. Sometimes. God can use sometimes men in his vineyard. God can use sometimes women in his house. But he appoints to stewardship those who are consistently day in and day out what they are supposed to be. Ministers of God's truth, ministers of God's grace. Consistently. Again, in our homes, men, would you agree with me that our biggest failure in raising our children is our inability to be consistent? I can be a godly example this week and stink the place up the next week. I can be what I'm supposed to be today and ruin it all tomorrow. I could name you examples from this very week. Amen. And you know what the Lord's looking for? He is looking for consistency. He's not looking for the greatest preacher that ever lived. He's not looking for the greatest mind that he can find. In fact, he said not many wise, not many mighty, not many noble. That's not what he's looking for. He's looking for somebody that will minister God's word and God's grace day in and day out, week in and week out, year after year after year after year. And that's what he's looking for. Listen, most of those guys who they came to the church, they were all fired up. They were looking to do some great thing for the Lord, you know, kind of pushing all the rest of us to get going. Well, where are they now? They left the church shortly after that. And they're all washed up. They're all done now. They're not even in church anymore. But everyone that came on the scene, just plodding along, you know, growing a little, day in, day out. They're still not going off like fireworks, but they're still at it. They haven't quit. They're still plodding along. I mean, I don't know if you know the story, but there's a lot of truth to that tortoise and the hare story. You ought to read that sometime. A lot of spiritual truth there. God's not interested in how fast you can run. Are you going to keep running? Are you going to keep running? And so he wants a steward to be faithful. That's number one. Secondly, get Titus chapter 1. And then Hebrews chapter 13. Titus chapter 1 and Hebrews chapter 13. Now, we said that a man is to rule his house. We saw that ruling has to do with ministering to, providing for. And we saw that God has appointed certain men to rule the house of God. That is, they are to minister to, they are to provide for the other members of the body. Okay, now look in Titus chapter 1, verse number 7. For a bishop must be blameless as the steward of God. For a bishop must be blameless as the steward of God. Now come to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter number 13 and verse number 7. To the church of God, to the house of God at Corinth, the Lord would say this: Remember them which have the rule over you. Okay, now watch, and let's see if this verse supports what we have defined from the Bible as the meaning of ruling. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God. Okay, what is a steward? He's a ruler. What does a steward do? Number one, he ministers the word of God. Number two, he ministers the grace of God. All right, so watch this. Whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Okay, does he teach the word of God, and does he graciously practice the word of God? Well, if so, you are safe in following the rule of that man. Now, suppose he does minister the word of God, but he doesn't live it in his own life. You would not follow him. Suppose he lives a good life, but he doesn't minister the word of God. You don't follow him. But God is looking to appoint over his household, over the work of his vineyard, men who minister the word of God and the grace of God. They have the rule. All right, what does it mean that a steward, we saw that he's supposed to be faithful. What does it mean that a steward is to be blameless? All right, look at verse 17 of Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13, verse 17. Obey them that have the rule over you. Okay, now you're not obeying a preacher, because if that preacher is God's ruler, he's not giving you his words, he's proclaiming God's words. Okay, he's ministering God's truth. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Okay, let's get this verse. Let's suppose that God has made me a steward in his house, okay? And I get to the place someday where I am ministering God's words and I am living God's word, okay? And a man says, nobody's going to tell me what to do. Man, that preacher, he thinks he's God. I'm going to do whatever I want to do. You know, he preaches that stuff all day long. Nobody's the boss of me. Fine. But if I have set forth the word of God, and I have lived the word of God, in the day of judgment, I will give account for everyone that God placed under my stewardship. Okay? If I am blameless, that is, if I have taught the word, if I have lived the life, then in the day when I give account for those under my stewardship, I will be able to do so, to give account with joy. I'll be blameless. Praise the Lord, I did what I was supposed to do. Now, if you have been under such proper stewardship, but you've been in rebellion and in disobedience, you know, not to the preacher, but to the word of God that he proclaimed, the Bible says in that same verse, that is unprofitable for you. In other words, if God has given you someone to guide and direct you in the vineyard and show you the right way, if you don't follow that right way, you lost what profit you could have had in the day of judgment. Okay, do you see that? So, to wrap it up, it's not about exalting men. Not at all. Jesus Christ is the only one worthy of praise, honor, and glory. But the Lord does put some men in places of leadership for the benefit of the body, so that in the day of judgment, they can receive a fuller reward, because the example and the teaching that God gave them through those men has made them better able to reap reward in the day of judgment. All right, come back to 1 Corinthians. We'll finish up. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse number 10. And look at the end of the verse. 1 Corinthians 3:10, end of the verse. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. Okay, now watch. Jesus Christ is the foundation, right? Now picture that foundation, Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul comes along as the good steward, and he says, hey, look, this is how Jesus Christ lived. This is what Jesus taught. This is what you are to do. Now, is Paul trying to get you to follow him when he says that, such things? Only as he follows Jesus Christ. Now, what are you going to do? You will get a full reward if you go along with the foundation that Paul told you to build upon. Or you can say, I don't need anybody telling me what to do. I believe everybody's just the same in God's eye. I don't need a preacher. I don't need to go to church. And so you put down a different foundation where you feel like putting that foundation. It has nothing to do with pastoral authority. It has nothing to do with following a man. It has to do with learning from somebody who learned from God. And what you did is you lost an opportunity to get a full reward by building on the right foundation, because you decided you'd build your own foundation. And you know something? Once you build your own foundation, anything that you or other men put on that thing, it's going to crumble. It's going to fall.